for the sound guys, hang me. There we go. Okay, we are started. Ephesians chapter number 6, we're going to read verses 10, 11, 12, 13, then we'll drop down to verse number 15, and next month we'll actually be on verse number 17, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we'll be on the Bible, amen. All right, well, if you're there, Ephesians 6, 10, let's go ahead and stand. And we're going to read verses 10 through 13 and then 15. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 and then 15. Amen. All right, all together with me, here we go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, amen. And come down to verse number 15. I like to say stand therefore, amen. So yeah, let's say that too. Stand therefore. Stand therefore. Amen. Well, just that part. Stand therefore. And then verse 15. Here we go. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Father, bless the next moments that we have together as we talk about the gospel, its effect, and how we can utilize it, Lord, to bring glory to you and, Lord, bring others into the kingdom of God. Well, thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. All right. If you've been here for any length of time, you know that I'm trying to ingrain these verses in your minds. 10, 11, 12, 13. Who got them all memorized? Amen. Got three, four. Amen. My children got them all memorized as well. Want to try to commit all of those verses to memory. Why? They will aid you more than you know. More than you know. There's a real devil out there who's really trying to destroy and hurt you and your Christian walk and your testimony. The only way you'll be able to defeat him is by having on this armor. Without this armor, you cannot battle. And by the way, I mentioned it before. I'll say it again. He doesn't strip you of your armor. What happens to the armor? What did I say in that message? Anybody remember? Jeremiah?
We take it off.
We take it off. We forfeit it. We actually have to take it off to go to where he's at. Because I have to stand in it. But to go to where he's at, I've got to take it off. I've got to let down my shield of faith. I've got to let down the word of God. I've got to let down my helmet of salvation. I've got to take all that off to go where he's at. And so if I do that, guess what? He will surely win the battle. And so these verses are very important. We come down to verse number 15. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We always want to be ready to give someone the gospel and give them an answer as to who we believe and why we believe. Amen. Why? A lot of people out there don't believe. A lot of people out there believe erroneous things. A lot of people believe a lot of things that will get you to heaven and they're not true. And so we want to make sure that we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace. By the way, the hardest person oftentimes to get saved is someone that's religious. That's the hardest person. Now, I was religious, but I wasn't practicing my religion. So it was easier for me to get saved because I wasn't practicing my religion. I was religious, and it was a little bit more difficult for me. But someone that has no religious background at all, oftentimes, it's a whole lot easier for them to get saved. But if they were raised in church and think they have salvation, that's the hardest person to get lost. Amen. And so let's fill in some things here in your book. And we're going to start on page 37. And I'll get you some things here. Because the goal behind this book is not just to get you to take it personally, but to equip you so that you feel comfortable in not just giving someone the gospel, but taking them all the way through to the end. Not just saying, oh, we're going to get them saved, that's it. By the way, there's a lot more than just getting somebody saved. Would y'all agree? Amen. By the way, that's why we have what we have right now. Because a lot of people out there, they're just saved. That's all they know, is that I'm saved. And they have built on that salvation a whole lot of erroneous doctrines. And they are the ones that you hear and say, well, yeah, I got saved when I was a kid. I got saved when I was a teenager. I went to camp, I got saved. And then nobody discipled them. Nobody took them under their wing. And somebody else came and put something on that foundation. Somebody else put something on that foundation. And now they got a mess. Pastor Benny, you call them Heinz 57 or Dr. Pepper. 21 flavors. Amen. They got so much stuff on their lives that it's a shame. Amen. Dr. Pepper prides itself on saying it's got 21 flavors in Dr. Pepper. That's why it tastes like medicine. My daughter Faith, she loves some Dr. Pepper. She loves her some Dr. Pepper. But you know what? If you go through the soda line and you put a whole bunch of different sodas in there and taste it, you know what it's going to taste like? Dr. Pepper. Because they pride themselves on having 21 flavors in there. Amen. Now, what is that? Sprite only has, what, you know, lemon lime. Coke got the cocoa and the caffeine. Amen. Mountain Dew. Got caffeine. That's about all this got. Amen. Don't got much else but caffeine. Amen. And so Dr. Pepper prides itself on having 21 flavors. If a person doesn't get discipled after they get saved, the devil's going to give them some things to build. And he's going to give them some things to build on. And it's not going to be good. Amen. All right, 37. Let's go here. Committed to multiplication. We just come off the area that said nurturing growth last week. Because once we get someone saved, we do want to make sure that we can get them established and get them growing in the Lord. That's what we talked about last week. Now, committed to multiplication. That is the number, Roman numeral 3. We're going to talk about that. Committed to multiplication. And under committed to multiplication, the next page over 38, A is intentional involvement. Intentional involvement. We're going to talk about that. Speaks for itself. And then underneath intentional involvement, number one, encourage a new Christian to invite others to church. Encourage. Encourage. Two, invite a new Christian to go soul winning with you. Invite. Three, offer. Offer to help a new Christian share the gospel with friends and relatives. Then B, private prayer. Private prayer. Then C, faithful testimony. Faithful testimony. Now again, what's the goal behind this particular chapter, committed to multiplication? C, faithful testimony. One, remain faithful as a Christian. Two, remain faithful as a soul winner. And then we'll stop there. All right. So anybody miss any of those? Roman numeral 3, committed to multiplication. Page 38, A, intentional involvement. One, encourage a new Christian to invite others to church. Number two, invite a new Christian to go soul winning with you. Number three, offer to help a new Christian share the gospel with friends and relatives. Then B, private prayer. C, faithful testimony. One, remain faithful as a Christian. Two, remain faithful as a soul winner. Anybody want to hear any of those or something from the previous chapter? I got those. Amen. All right. So let's talk about committed to multiplication. Anybody need to hear anything? No? All right. Committed to multiplication. What are we talking about here? Well, I'm glad you asked. Amen. What's your name, Fred?
Thank you,
Slater. Oh, okay. Amen. All right. Committed to multiplication. Again, Ephesians 6:15 says, and your feet shall be the preparation of the gospel of peace. By the way, when Jesus left, what did he tell us as the church to do? Go ye therefore and do what? Teach all nations. Teach all nations. And so feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace means that we should be ready to give the gospel, which is the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's just that simple. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, I declare unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to Scripture. That's the gospel. It's just that simple. Amen. And so when we say feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, that's exactly what God wants us to do. And by the way, it doesn't end with just someone getting saved. You've got the verse there. Let's look at John chapter 4 and verse 28. By the way, when Jesus came, what was his whole goal in his coming? What was his whole goal? Came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said, look, I want you to do the same thing, to seek and to save the lost. That's the main goal of Jesus Christ. His face was fixed to go to the cross, to die on the cross, to be buried, to rise again the third day for you and I. And he said, now I want you to go and propagate that same message. I want people to be saved. Notice the woman at the well. Notice what she said down there, John chapter 4, verse 28, 29. Who's got that already? Can read that? Katie?
The woman then left her water pot and went on her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?
Amen. So from this woman at the well, immediately she left her water pot. She went away into the city and she said, come see a man. By the way, when me and Mr. Dawson got saved, guess what we did? Exactly the same thing. We went home. We're like, who can we tell first? We didn't know who to tell. We know we're going to tell somebody and we want to tell somebody. Pastor, we're like, you know, we thought it was bragging. We're like, man, we don't, you know, but we got to tell somebody. So we called our parents. I told y'all before we called our parents. Amen. And parents said, well, you thought, well, you were saved already. No. But you joined the church, you got baptized. Oh, no, that wasn't salvation. And so right off the bat, I knew that my parents didn't really know what salvation was all about. When they said, you are already saved. I thought, wait a minute, you don't know the Greg that I know. If you think I'm already saved, then boy, yeah, something really wrong, amen. And so she went and told, amen. Notice what it says about the Thessalonican church there. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. The Thessalonican church. And so the woman at the well went and told, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. Who's got that one? Can read that for me. 1 Thessalonians 1, 8. Once I can get over there, amen. All right, 1 Thessalonians 1, 8. Who's got that one? Pastor White, go ahead.
Well, from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, but Achaia, but also in every place your faith and God is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything.
Amen. So Paul said, you know what, Thessalonica, I wasn't with you long, but as soon as you got saved, you guys started sounding out the word. What did the woman at the well do? Started telling others. What should we do? Tell others. And so when we deal with this issue of multiplication, as you say, committed to multiplication, the woman at the well said, hey, come see a man. Paul said, from you sounded out the word, amen. And by the way, that word was the word that salvation is free, salvation is full. Jesus Christ has died, he's been buried, he rose again. You can be saved. And so all these folks in Achaia started giving that out down in the areas of Greece, amen. And so Paul was excited about that. Notice verse 9. What is the end result of a person getting saved? For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from what?
Idols.
You stopped worshiping those false gods. To do what? To serve the living and the true God. And to do what? And to wait for his son. Amen. So look, you got the gospel out. You turned from these idols, and you're waiting for Jesus to come back. By the way, he is coming back.
Amen.
And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the what? Dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from what? The wrath to come. Praise God. So he said, hey, look, he said, Thessalonica, you sounded out. The woman at the well sounded it out. And so we find that there's references all throughout the Bible of folks, soon as they get saved, they start giving out the gospel. Spreading the gospel is the normal response to the person that received the gospel. Now, by the way, I'll give you just a rhetorical question. If you didn't want to share it, it's not good news.
Amen.
The gospel is good news, am I right?
Right.
When you get an A on a test, you want to tell somebody. When you get something fabulous, you want to tell somebody. When people get, when they have their first baby, they're going to announce it to everybody. When G2 came after 20 years, man, I told it. I'll shout on the rooftops. Gregory's the second is here. I'm a daddy. Now let everybody know. Why? That was good news. When I got married, I sent out invitations. Hey, I'm marrying the sweetest girl in the world. Everybody come. And they did too. Didn't have enough food for them. Amen. And so I want everybody. What? Good news. Good news. Now, are you going to be as zealous as I was when I first got saved? Maybe not. But you should have had a desire in your heart to want to tell somebody. Now, you might not know what to say. You might not know how to say it. I remember when I got back to my job the next day and we had our staff meeting and everybody gets a turn to say something. One of my pages coming. That's why I got my new Bible. And Sergeant Forts said, okay, Sergeant Dawson, you got anything you want to say? And I said, I looked around the room, everybody was looking. I said, I got saved yesterday. And he looked at me like I had two heads. He said, you got what yesterday? I said, I got saved yesterday. My boss was Catholic. He said, yeah, I'm saved too. I said, no, man, I'm not. You ain't saved like I'm saved. I said, this is something different. I said, Jesus came to my heart. I confess my sins. I said, I repented. I'm going to heaven. He just looked at me like, this guy is nuts. This guy. Well, I wanted to tell, I didn't know what to say. I just said, I'm saved. How's she going to say it? Later on, he had an incident as well. He came back and told me what happened to him, and it wasn't good. Amen. But anyway, you always want to tell somebody right away when you get saved. Amen. Paul Chappell says this, our responsibility does not end with leading a person to Christ and seeing them baptized and on their way in spiritual growth. We ought to teach them to likewise share the gospel and lead others to Christ. By the way, nobody had to teach me and Mrs. Dawson to go share the gospel with somebody. We wanted to do it. It was automatic. Why? It's good news. It's good news. And again, I say, if you don't want to share your good news, something wrong with that because it's good news. Now, you may be afraid, but in your heart, you should burn. I want to tell. Why don't somebody ask me so I can tell them? Because I'm too shy to tell somebody. But if they ask me, boy, I'm going to load them up. Pastor, why don't you tell them how you got saved in Spain? Amen. Brother Aaron will tell them how he went over here, went over here, went over here. Then he came over here, and the pastor never preached. Amen. And he got saved. He'll tell you, hey, why? It happened to me. Amen. It happened to me. And so that's one of those things that are there. In other words, God's plan for spreading of gospel isn't merely addition, it's multiplication. By the way, it says, when you share the gospel with another person and they trust Christ as their Savior, that is addition. Someone has been added to God's family. But when you then teach that new Christian how to share their faith with others, now you are both sharing the gospel and leading people to Christ. That's multiplication. Amen. That's how the church grows. Amen. It says this is how the early church grew so quickly in the first century. And we see the progression from addition to multiplication in the book of Acts. By the way, in the book of Acts, you're going to see a lot of multiplication. Let's turn over there real quick and see this multiplication. Acts chapter number 2. We're going to start there. Acts chapter number 2. Now, by the way, who is normally the most effective witness to sinners? Who's normally the most effective witness to sinners? The most effective? A new Christian. Why? They have many other non-saved people, and they immediately see the change in you. Brother Serge walks on the job, and he's refined. He's been saved for a while. And so he doesn't come in with any bad habits. He's doing right all day. So they're going to think he's a holy roller, goody two-shoe. But you let Serge come in cussing and fussing and beating up the co-workers, coming with liquor on his breath and, you know, just all kind of anarchy. And then the next day he comes in clothed in his right mind and sane. People say,
what happened to you?
You feel a little bit of You're not cursing today. You don't smell liquor on your breath. Your eyes aren't red anymore. what happened here? Now guess what he's got? He's got that opportunity to say, Jesus happened.
Testimony.
Yes. Jesus happened. Why? They saw the old Serge. Then they saw the new Serge. Mm-hmm. And so it's really behooves you and I, when somebody first gets saved, let them know. Go tell your friends. Wait, what Jesus said to the one guy, go show how great things the Lord has done for thee. Go tell your friends. Amen. And so that was Acts chapter number 2 and verse 41. Who's got that? Can read that for me. Verse 41. Go ahead, Ken.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Amen. So they were added to the church on this day. And so adding is not multiplication, but when the church at Jerusalem first started, guess what? You had these people from all walks of life, all different types of Jews, receive the gospel, and they were added to the church. By the way, you can't be added to something that doesn't have a number already standing. So there had to be a number already there. Who'd they join? The disciples. That's what it says in verse number 42. And they continued how? Steadfastly where? In the apostles' doctrine. So they joined themselves up to that group that had been with Christ. They said, look, we want to stay with y'all. Y'all got the stuff. Y'all teaching really good. Hey, let's have some of that. By the way, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what?
New creature.
New creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, their teaching, and in what? Their fellowship, and what? And breaking of bread, and in what? And their prayers. And so when you come down to verse 47, notice what it says they did. Matter of fact, verse 46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord did what? The Lord added unto the church daily such as should be saved. How could the Lord add daily to the church? They went out and told somebody. Y'all need to come over here and hear Peter. I mean, Peter just shucked the corn yesterday. He told us how we treated Jesus. He told us how we put Jesus on the cross, how Jesus died for our sins. He was buried again. You need to come and hear Peter. Hey, you need to come in. And so you've got all these, how many of it there?
3,000
going out and bringing somebody in. And so what did the Lord do? Added. He added more people. All right? Come over to Acts chapter number 5. Notice what you find. These people are still going out. And again, the easiest or the best ones to witness, normally those that just came out of being a non-believer into being a believer. Verse 14 of chapter 5. Who can read that for me? Who's there? Katie, go ahead.
And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women.
Amen. The more added to the Lord. So now you've got this multitude here. The 3,000 came over. Now you've got a whole bunch more coming in and getting saved. And so there's a multitude here, and it gets better. By the way, these new believers became grounded, evidently, and they were going out bringing people into the church more and more. So we come over to Acts chapter number 6. Then what we find in Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. And who's got that? Can read verse number 1 for me. Acts 6, 1. Go ahead, Ms. White.
And in those days, when the number of disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the because their wills were neglected in the daily
ministration. Amen. So now we've gone from Acts chapter 2 to addition, to Acts chapter 5 to addition, now Acts chapter 6, multiplication. Why? More and more people are getting saved. More and more people are getting the gospel. And more people are going out there and reaching them and bringing them back in. Why? That's what Jesus said should happen. When you get good news, you want to share good news with somebody else. Amen. And so these guys come in. But now when you get multiplication, notice what else you get. Murmuring. When the number of disciples was multiplied, there rose a murmuring of the Grecians. Don't you notice somebody's always going to feel left out when the numbers multiply? When you go from addition to multiplying, just think right now, exponentially, if God brought in about 125 people to our church in this next week, how y'all going to feel?
Well.
Who's going to be flanked with people? Me, Pastor White, the deacons, and guess who you probably won't get a chance to get to? Me, Pastor White, and the deacons' wives. And how's that going to make you feel when I get swamped with all these people? And the pastor, and you can't talk to Pastor White, and you can't get to the deacons. And we got to go to Brother Aaron now. we got to go over to Brother Serge, but Serge has got somebody. We got to go to Shane now. And we got to go to Brother Duffy. And I want to go to the pastor. Shane's too young. He's only 20. This church, I tell you, got turned me into a 20-year-old young man. I just want some experience. I want to know something about life. He didn't have no kids. He's not married. They start murmuring. And so when you get that happen, all of a sudden, you're going to get problems. So you got to expect that with multiplication. By the way, let me share a secret with you. That's why a lot of churches don't go out and bring anybody in. They don't want to warp the balance of the church that they have. They like my four, and they don't want no more. If you come in, you're going to disrupt the balance of things. You're going to come in, and you're going to take away my pastor. You're going to take away my pastor's wife. You're going to take away my assistant pastor, my assistant pastor's wife. You're going to take away my deacon's wife. And I don't want that. I don't want you to come in and do that. And so a lot of people are afraid that it's going to disrupt things. Or the new ones are going to come in with their problems, and it's going to be murmuring because of neglect. But guess what? Such is the church. Are there any perfect people in the church?
No.
Everybody got problems. Say, preacher, surely you don't have problems. I probably got more than the rest of y'all. Amen. And so the numbers multiplied, amen. As a soul winner, we want to be reaching people on a regular basis and seeing them added to the church and preaching and teaching to them and discipling them and then seeing them grow and go out and bring more people in. That's how the church multiplies, amen. I guarantee you in Acts chapter number 6, there were people that left that fellowship. I guarantee it. Why? They didn't get their needs met. And I'm going to get my needs met somewhere. If not here, I'm going elsewhere. I guarantee there were some people that left that church. And so how can we as individuals participate in this addition and this multiplication? Intentional involvement. That's our next thing we're going to talk about. Intentional involvement. We want to make sure that we're a part of that. Amen. Because the new Christian has a natural desire for others to hear the gospel. They just don't know how. By the way, I didn't know how. I mean, I remember that one time I told y'all that I used the squadron recall roster as the visitation director to get people's houses visited. And the guy came and said, did you send so-and-so to my house? And I said, yes. He said, why? I froze in my boots. I didn't know what to say to him. I said, I'm commanded to give you the gospel or you're going to go to hell. I don't think he wanted to hear that. Because you know what he said? Let me go to hell. And I wasn't expecting to hear that. And I thought, you really want to go to hell? I thought, my soul. And he was headed that way. And that way was my commander's door. And I thought, he's going to tell on me. I'm going to get kicked out of the military. I said, I better shut up. No, I just stopped using the recall roster. Amen. All right. Notice number one says, encourage. How can we help these folks? Encourage a new Christian to invite others to church. One of the first things you can say, hey, look, you got a family, you got a husband, got a wife, got children, bring them to church. You got some friends, bring them to church with you. They don't know how to go out and give the gospel and be a witness, but they can invite their friends to church, amen? And so encourage a new believer, hey, bring somebody with you, amen? Number two, invite a new Christian to go soul winning with you, amen? They can invite someone to come, but then they can also encourage them to go soul winning with you. Say, look, I'm going to visit so-and-so. Why don't you come with me, amen? And by the way, when they come with you, I tell you, it is a blessing to go with someone that's a seasoned veteran soul winner. And you watch them work. Now, I used to go out with some guys and I'd watch them. I'd pick up things to do and things not to do. I would see certain men do certain things. I said, ooh, I would never say that. My wife says that when she goes with me. I would never say that. And guess what? I'll say it. Why? It goes with my personality. So I can say it. If she said it, it'd probably offend them to no end. But I can say it and get away with it. My wife says, I can't believe you said that to them. I couldn't believe some of the stuff that Pastor Bennett used to say. I said, oh. Pastor Bennett, you said that? I mean, Pastor Bennett would say stuff like, they said, I got a headache. He said, if I had a head look like that, it should hurt too. I'd be like, I could never say that to anybody. Man, Pastor Bennett was saying, they would laugh with him. And they would laugh, ha, 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 ha. Pastor Bennett said, if I had a head like that, I'd be ashamed if it didn't hurt too. And I'm thinking, I could never say that. So you're always going to learn stuff that'll work for you, and it may not work for you. Amen? You know, and I'm like, or brother, make sure somebody got your back. Pastor Bennett would say that, not that, and he would say it to strangers, people that he didn't even know. And I'm saying, Pastor Bennett, you can't say that to them and get away with it. And he would say it and get away with it. But that's his personality. He was a jokester. He was very jovial, and folks took it just like that. Amen. So invite a new Christian to go soul winning with you. Amen. They can actually learn from you. Amen. I remember the first time somebody wanted to get saved. We was at camp, and I remember just like it was yesterday, a young boy, Jimmy, wanted to get saved. And I had never led anybody to the Lord. And he said, I want to get saved. I thought, right here?
Now?
Right now? He said, yeah. Because I was telling him how good it was to be saved. I was like, man, it's good to be saved. You need to be saved. He said, well, I want to get saved right now. I'm like, You mean like right here? You mean like right now?
Right now.
By me. I said, let's wait till we get back to the camp. Let's talk to Pastor Bennett. And as we got closer, I said, hey, Jimmy. I said, do you mind if I come and sit in on you so I can listen and see what Pastor Bennett's going to tell you? I had never let him. I didn't know what to do. You know, this guy said yes. I'm thinking, nobody ever said yes before. And I listened to what Pastor Bennett said. And so when you find a new Christian, go soul winning with you, you can learn from them. And so they can learn from you. And I listened and I thought, okay, that wasn't so hard. I think I can do that. I think, the first person I led, I fumbled and thumbled so much. I mean, and I even had a Romans Road in front of me. And I still thumbled and fumbled. I thought, glory, this is hard business here. Why? I was trying to be so technically precise. They just need the gospel. That's all they need. Right. Amen. I was trying to dissect it and trisect it and everything other way you could give it to them and, you know, and serve it up. He just need the gospel. Amen. So invite him to go with you. Amen. Also, number three, offer to help a new Christian share the gospel with friends and relatives. Amen. Franz Moyman sent those guys here. You know why he sent them here, I believe? So I could give them the gospel. He said, look, I got saved. And you going down there where Dawson is at, you go see him. He'll tell you the same thing I'm telling you. And so he brought him down here. And guess what? I gave him the same thing I told Franz. Amen. And so offer to help a new Christian share the gospel with friends and relatives. Oftentimes I'll say, hey, look, you want me to go visit with him? Amen. Brother Aaron had a friend. We were trying to get over to his house, man. I tell you, for the life of us, we couldn't get there. But guess what? We tried. We tried. We tried. Amen. Offer to go visit with them. This is the area that I have got to say that I struggle with, and this is private prayer. Private prayer. Notice what the commentary says. Sometimes we pray more fervently for people to be saved than we pray for them after they are saved. I mean, we're dying for them to get saved. I remember Toya, a girl over in Belgium, she wanted her husband to get saved so bad he got saved, and then you stop praying for them after they get saved. And the relationship got rocky. And so one of those things is praying for them to get saved, but then pray for them after they get saved. That is so important. I was talking to my cousin just a couple weeks ago, and he's had some difficulties going on. And I said, hey, I said, is there anything I can do for you? He said this. He said, I want you to pray. He said, I want you to pray every day for me. He said, can you give me your word? I'll pray for you every day. I said, I give you my word. I said, I pray for you every day. My wife probably didn't even notice. You see that little white sheet on my nightstand? It's got Rodney written on it. I got a little just white piece of paper written in a blue marker, and it's on my nightstand. Every morning I wake up, I see his name. Every night before I go to bed, I see his name. You know what I'm doing? I'm praying for him. It's the first name I see, and it's the last name I see before I go to bed. Why? He sincerely said, pray for me. Pray for me. And I said, well, what do you want me to pray? He said, pray for God's will. He said, I know I'm running from God. He said, I know I'm running from God. He said, just pray that I'll just surrender his will. He said, I just have not done it. He said, would you pray for me? I'm thinking, just surrender, man. Then I thought, there was a time when I didn't surrender. And I was running from God. And so I pray for him. It's the last thing that I see at night. It's the first thing that I see in the morning. His name. I want to pray for him always. Notice some of the verses here very, very quickly. Ephesians 1:16. Paul said this, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Philippians 1:4. Always in every prayer. And if I were you, I would underline those words there. Always in every prayer of mine for you, making requests with joy. Notice the next one, Colossians 1:3. We give thanks to God how often? Always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Notice that last one, Philemon 4. I thank my God, making mention of thee how often? Always in my prayers. Now guess what? Paul was probably busier than most of us. But Paul said, when it came down to the Ephesians, I didn't cease to pray for you. When it came down to the Philippians, I was always praying for you. When it came down to the Colossae, I was praying always for you. When it came down to the Thessalonians, I was always praying for you. When it came to Philemon, he said, I was always praying for you. Oh, J.O. Frazier said this, just as a plant may die for lack of watering, so may a genuine work of God die and rot for lack of prayer. Wow. I was convicted when I read that. I said, man, I'm guilty as charged. It says, if you want to see the person you led to the Lord continue growing in grace and become fruitful in their witness, don't neglect to pray for them. Keep praying for them. Just because they got saved, that's only a small smidgen. That gets them in heaven. Now you want to be productive, amen? And so we're going to stop there with that, and we'll pick up next week with that and hopefully go into the next section. And so private prayer. Paul said, you know, I want to pray, and I want to pray, and I want to pray for you. And that's one thing that we can do for a convert when they get saved is to make sure we don't stop praying for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Why? They're going to go through battles. By the way, it's a whole lot easier for Satan to take them out than to take you out. Amen. Think about it. You're Hey, those of us have been saved for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years, he knows we're not going anywhere. But you get a Christian saved for, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, hey, I can get them down. What's easier to chop down, a tree that's been up 50 years or a tree that's been up 50 days? It's easier to chop down a tree that's been up 50 days than it is 50 years. So Satan knows if I can get the young Christians down, if I can get the babies, if I can get them rooted, uprooted and chopped down, guess what? I can win this thing as far as he thinks, but the victory still is God's.
Amen.
Amen. Pray for them, amen. That's the encouragement that I want to leave you with. Pray for young Christians. We've got a listing of Christians on our bulletin. Pray for those Christians that God will work in their heart. Pastor White, come on up. Father, bless now as we dismiss tonight. And I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to be prayer warriors for those young Christians, knowing the devil would like to get them and, Lord, do with them what he will. So, Lord, encourage us to be prayer warriors. In Jesus' name, amen.